The poet who vanished. I see you've tracked me down at last. It's a long time on your own, 35 years, especially in Bournemouth. But you've not come all this way to hear about some mad old bat called Rosemary Light Band. So now you're here, I'll tell you about the other me, the one that that poetry man Brian Patton called the poet who vanished, who, as he put it, evaporated into thin air like the Cheshire Cat. Not true, but people do love a mystery. I was born in Kent, 1928. My mother, Gwen, christened me Rosemary Desmond Boswell Tonks. Bit of a mouthful, but my father was an engineer who went to Nigeria to help run the empire and promptly died of Blackwater fever. So I became his memorial. And Rosemary Tonks sounds suitably schizophrenic, don't you think? Poetic and prosaic side by side. By then, mother's mothering instinct was exhausted. I spent most of my childhood at a posh-ish boarding school where I was judged to be, I quote, brilliant but disruptive. Also, intolerant of authority. Well, they got that right. But instead, I read all the time, and more importantly, wrote stories. I was in Uncle Mac's Children's Hour storybook. After they chucked me out of school, I lived in London. No money, but I was 18, and at least the war was over, and there were public libraries. And Soho. I discovered the joys of Baudelaire, if that's not a misnomer, and more accessible pleasures at the Mandrake Club. Within a year, I was married. Only 20, but it was what girls did in those days. Mickey was 26, and would you believe it, another engineer with a taste for the tropics. So I caught typhoid in Calcutta and polio in Karachi. But my marriage certificate recorded my occupation as writer. And as we creatives know, it's all grist to the mill. So polio gave me my chance, invalided back to England. See this withered hand? That dates back to then. With a rakish black glove, it was a fashion accessory. People wondered what it would look like if I took it off. And with Mickey out the way in Pakistan, possibilities opened up. 1952 was the happiest year of my life. In Paris, alone, well, not always alone, the Ile Saint-Louis, the same streets as Baudelaire. By the time Mickey came back to London, he was calling himself a financier, and we set ourselves up in Hampstead, round the corner from Edith Sitwell. Yes, we hobnobbed with Edith. It was a lively time. I was rather good at giving parties, and not just Mickey's friends. I had my own by then. We saw the Huxleys and serious people like Cyril Connolly. And suddenly my poems were being published. Notes on Cafes and Bedrooms came out in 63. The title says it all, really. And I don't want to boast, but it was different and a lot more fun than the well-behaved stuff other people wrote. What lost souls they were, too. Frightened to write about passion. Poems should excite you. They should send you reeling. So for a year or two, I was hot property, the English Baudelaire. That poem of mine, Bedouin of the London Evening, that was me. The critics that really mattered love my stuff. And when Iliad of Broken Sentences came out, they loved that too. And the ones who didn't? Well, two fingers to them, or so I thought. But then it was 68. That year, the whole world went mad. And for me, everything started to go wrong. They say if you stare at a flame, you may find God. That was what I hoped. And then I found that what it does is turn you blind. But that's my other story.